today on Real Radio.
Can somebody tell me what feeling saved feels like? I don't know what that feels like. Feel saved? I don't know. I just know I am. I just know because he said that all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I called upon the name of the Lord. I'm saved.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Believer's Experience, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 5. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. The Christian experience has affected the world ever since the birth of Jesus Christ. The teachings, the witness, and the actions of those who have a personal relationship with God reflect God's message of His infinite love and grace. And when we experience the love and grace of the Father, we discover His power, His divine healing, and His care, for His love and grace are beyond measure, and our lives and ministry flow from it. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the believer experiences the Holy Spirit by faith and not by following the works of the law. For having received the Holy Spirit, we are no longer in the flesh. But if we continue in our former conduct, our Christian experience will all be in vain. And now, continuing in his lesson called The Believer's Experience, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
See, a person who's concerned about their name and their, what's the word, perception, their face, they're going to go, oh, that's a horrible thought to think of my grandpa running in front of a church, you know, with his underwear on, shouting, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I mean, I couldn't even picture such a thing. Why? Well, we have our, you know, it would embarrass our great name. Well, how about the king of Israel, the most powerful man on the face of the earth, who when he realized God's presence was near them again, he ran out of his house and he's got his Fruit of the Looms on. And he's running around and his wife opens the window. Michal, she looks out the window and she goes, oh, brother, how disgusting. And he comes home and he says, isn't it great? The Lord is with us. And she goes, well, well, well. Didn't the king of Israel today debase himself like the bums of this city, running around like that naked? You shamed us. And you embarrassed us. You made us look like fools. And man, David, you can almost see him kind of going, because he's still in the... Man. Woman, chill. I tell you what, and God allowed him to see her heart. He says, I tell you what, I may have acted like a fool today, but it was for the Lord. And the bottom line is this, no fellowship with God, I'll have no fellowship with you. And he never went to her bedroom again all the days of her life. He cut her off. He was worshiping the Lord in the integrity of his heart. A changed mind, a changed life, a changed person. When Christ comes into our lives, listen, we're different. You might say, Jack, you're talking about the believer's experience. Isn't that a little dangerous in this day and age? We've got people rolling down aisles. We've got people climbing walls. We've got people, I mean, we don't have people here doing that, but I'm saying, by and large, in the Christian church, there's people barking and laughing. There's people doing all kinds of things, soaring around the sanctuary like a bird. All kinds of things going on in the name of Jesus. Well, let me just say this. Have you noticed that the pendulum of experience is often a dynamic? There are groups who are either bouncing off the walls and can barely quote John 3:16 because they don't spend time in Bible. If they did, they wouldn't be bouncing off the walls. Then there's the group that spends all the time in the Bible and they're scared to death to talk about the Holy Spirit. Somewhere in the middle and somewhere in the dynamic middle is the work of God by the Holy Spirit in the power of the Word to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be your quest and my quest as a believer. Did you know, God help us, may this church never, as long as I'm alive, may this church never seek to find out what pleases people. May we always seek to find out what pleases the Lord. And then if we understand the word of God right, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. We are to present the word of God and then let God do the doing. Okay, that's very important. But if we begin to morph and create a church that is designed at the whims and the desires of people, that we do what people say, then God slowly has to step out of the scene. Are you with me? That is no longer called a church. That's called a corporation. I would be the CEO, and we're all the stockholders of what? Of a man show, of a people movement, not a God movement. And it would be tragic. No, Christ changes our lives, and there should be an experience in our lives. There should be action in our lives. Very important. Second point this morning, verses 2, 3, and 4 teaches us that we should be experiencing the person of the Holy Spirit. Paul says this only, I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Stop right there. We'll take this in chunks. What do you think the answer to that is?
No.
Gee, I'd really like to be born again. Okay, stand still. I'm going to quote you the third commandment. What does that do? It does nothing for you. You see, again, you know, the law cannot save you. Rules cannot save you. So he's saying here, did you receive the Holy Spirit? By the works of the law? No. And remember, he's challenging that church when it was infant, when it was just brand new. In fact, at this moment of Paul's writing, the church was healthier when it was young than it is now corrupt in this false doctrine. He says, in continuing the logic, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith? Yes. How did you get saved here at Calvary? I mean, you here at Calvary Chapel, if you got saved here or not, that's not the point. But how did you get saved? By keeping the law? No. But by hearing the truth and responding to it. So Paul's argument is this. A true church ought to be experiencing the person of Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, he's to be received. You can see that here in the Word of God. And he's to be trusted, not in your own flesh. The word flesh here in verse 3 means our own nature, our old nature, the old Jack that we've been speaking about. No, we're to receive him, and we're to trust him. And verse 4 tells us that we are to experience him. Look what he says. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? The word suffer here in the Greek means this. Did you experience great passion, emotion, and meaning having come to Christ? Now hear me out. All of you listen. Wake up your buddy. This is important. When I accepted Jesus, I didn't feel anything. And when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time ever, I didn't feel a thing. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't think I ever feel anything. And I mean, oh yes, God's here. Oh, he's with me now. Whew, boy. I don't have that feeling. Maybe you do. God bless you. That's wonderful. I don't. I'm not saying this disrespectful, but I get more feeling out of maybe exercising, watching something funny. I love comedies. I get feelings from that. I'm a real sucker for days like this. The weather yesterday, the clouds and the heat and the cool air at the same time. I was like, oh, I get a lot of feelings. I get goosebumps when that kind of stuff happens. But when I read the Bible, I don't go, oh, man. I mean, sometimes I wish I did. And you might say, well, Jack, I do. Oh, man, I wish I were you. But you know what? If you get him, if you don't get him, it's not by feelings anyway. It's by faith. We all got to come the same way. See, Jack, I don't feel saved. Help me to feel saved. Can somebody tell me what feeling saved feels like? I don't know what that feels like. Feel saved? I don't know. I just know I am. I just know because he said that all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I called upon the name of the Lord. I'm saved. And some of you, God bless you, go, whoa. That's great. But what I'm saying is experience is important. I'm not putting it down. We are, if we're connected to the eternal God of the universe, shouldn't there be experience? Now look, right now, the Holy Spirit is teaching, using a gift of the Spirit, the gift of teaching, in a general, what's called convocation. That is, in this audience, this morning, Sunday morning, there are those here that are saved and not saved. There are those, what we would call a mixed multitude. Chances are, the Lord, because he's employing now the gift of teaching, he will never interrupt himself. If somebody were to jump up right now and start speaking in tongues, that would not be of God. Well, how can you know for sure? Because that person is interrupting the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, but I'm doing it by the Spirit. No, he wouldn't interrupt himself. But if somebody spoke in tongues in an afterglow setting where the atmosphere has been presented for such a thing, according to 1 Corinthians 14, what do you know about that? Well, you know this. If someone speaks in a tongue, we know that from the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14, there's going to be a setting for it. How do we know that? Because God's the one who does the prompting. Number two, God will never have a person speak in tongues unless a person is in the room present to interpret the tongue. They have the gift of interpretation. Did you know that? Every gift of tongue that is spoken publicly must be interpreted in the language of that congregation, or else the Bible says that person's to sit silent. Did you read that? You already know that, right? You read your Bible, right? If you don't know this, you better read 1 Corinthians 14. And if in an afterglow setting it happens once, it can happen twice with an interpretation. It can happen a third time with an interpretation. But guess what? Guess what the Bible says after that? It says to do it in order, in turns, two, at the most three, and then no more. Did you know that? Well, wait a minute, Pastor. The church I came from, people were just, you know, blabbing every, and it's crazy. Well, that's very unfortunate. That's abuse of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you know the gifts are not infallible? It has human intervention. That's very important. Read the Bible and know it. Why am I saying this? Because I'm making a point here. The scripture says that in the last days there will be churches who look like churches, but they deny the power thereof. The Holy Spirit is the power of the church. And this is very important. Many people, many churches, many pastors will talk about the Holy Spirit. They'll teach on the Holy Spirit, but they'll never let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Who is the leader of this church? Who is the guide of this church? Jesus Christ. And how does he do it? John chapter 15 to 17, by the person of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? A church, a pastor can have the gift of gab and be yapping on and even be very entertaining and know the Bible. But unless he yields to the Holy Spirit, it's just a one-man show. And many ministries talk about afterglow. Yes, let's have an afterglow. They talk all the way through the afterglow, and there's a lot of after, but there's no glow. You know why? You need to have a ministry to where the ministry trusts God and lets the Lord lead the service. Now, again, this is a Sunday service, and this is how Sunday services are conducted, because this is how God would have the Word of God go out for us to learn. But Wednesday nights, after service, we wait around for afterglow. Most people leave, but some people stay. And the gifts are in operation. And I had a woman before this service tell me that God has healed her of cancer. We had a man 3 weeks ago healed of diabetes. I said, go to your doctor and find out for sure. Because you can die, you know, if you don't. That's serious. And I don't want to presume upon anyone's declaration. You go and you see. And he went to the doctor. This guy had been completely healed of his diabetes, completely. We've had people healed of breast cancer. He said, Jack, how come we never heard about this? Look, what happens Wednesday nights and what happens in a peaceful, quiet, subdued setting? Maybe God wanted it that way. Besides, maybe everybody will come here for a show when it's not a show at all. It should be the Lord having freedom to move among his people. Amen. And it's all to be done decently and in order. Are you willing as a church, I tell you I am, to let the Holy Spirit be our guide? And right then and there, the legalist begins to cower back because for fear of God taking control, for fear of something might get out of control. Read the Bible. He never does anything out of control. We do, but he doesn't. The more I seek to control this church, the more disastrous it will come. If I step back and say, Lord, this is your church, you died for it, you called me to do this thing. I didn't call you up, you called me up. It's your thing. Jesus, do it. And I pray, as you, I hope, do every time, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and you speak to us, Lord. Let the Spirit of God be the guide and you'll never go astray. But my heart is concerned in this day and age because we have people who will talk about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is so quenched. He's so not allowed to preach the message that's put on the pastor's heart or to have that time of prayer among people. Well, we can't have that happen. Third and final point, we'll be done with this. The believer's experience is to experience the love of the Father. I can't tell you how many times I tell you that. You may be sitting here thinking, I get tired of him saying that God loves me, the Father loves me. You know what? I'm at a loss for words. I feel so unable to convey to you the love of the Father. And maybe that's the way it's supposed to be, that God the Father loves you so much. He not only sent his Son, but on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit to live within us. And listen, he did this without any merit of our own. He says in verse 5, therefore, I like what J. Vernon McGee says, when you see the word therefore, you need to see what it's there for. And that's so great. That's so true. What's it there for? Therefore, it's a statement. Because of verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4, because of what it says, Paul says, I declare this to you. And what does he say? He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Is that not so clear? No wonder why an old legalistic, burdensome church has got nothing going on. The Spirit is sitting in the corner bound with duct tape and his arms are behind his back, so to speak. Who can get saved? Who can get healed? No, it says right here in Galatians 3:5 that it is the Holy Spirit by the loving God himself who demands of us, and in fact expects of us, that among the believers there should be, listen, healings taking place, miraculous work, and salvations. Did you know that? And we're so funny. The scripture says here, he who supplies, it means that he supplies overflowing abundantly. And we'll settle for someone getting saved, but we'll wig out over somebody getting healed of a cold. When, if you could ever put a scale on which is the greatest healing, which one would you pick? Salvation. That's what Jesus meant, by the way, when he said, don't rejoice that the demons obey you and you've been preaching and all this stuff's gone on. Don't rejoice over that. He says, rejoice in the fact that your names are written down in heaven. And he went on to say, rejoice over this too. You think these are great works, he says, when the man was raised from his lame condition. He says, you'll do greater works than these. Was Jesus lying? Hey, Calvary, was Jesus lying? Then if Jesus said, we'll do greater works than these, I believe I knew what he meant. Salvation preached is, to me, when a person's converted, is the greatest miracle of all. Then why are we having such a hard time believing him for all the little stuff? Because we're this kind of people. We'll believe God to get us to heaven in the end, but I don't think God can do anything about my gas bill. Don't we? Oh, yes, Jesus, take me to heaven. Oh, Lord. Oh, man, what am I going to do about my mortgage? Trust the Lord. See how selective we are? We're funny. Our faith, I've concluded, works on a curve. And rather than just believe him, we have to fret. And Paul says, listen here, the law cannot save anybody, nor can the law have any power to heal anybody, to work miracles among you. But Jesus Christ, he set you free, and the Holy Spirit whom the Father has sent should be the earmark of every true dynamic Christian church. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. People are growing in the grace and their knowledge of Jesus Christ, and ministry is flowing forth from it. You guys, if you know of a church, if it's not happening here and you know of a church where it's happening, email me the address. I resign, and I want to go there. My heart's desire is that that happens here. And if we ever cease going to other parts of the world, I want out of here. If we begin to be a bunch of believers who believe in certain verses and books of the Bible, I want out of here. If we can't believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, then we have become the grossest of hypocrites. No. As long as this book is around, and I suggest it's going to be around a long time, I believe what it says. And if we're 2,000 years down the road from the days of the early church and great works were being done by them, it tells me that we need to be a people like the early church who believed God at his word and stepped out, and they let the results be of God. I do not want to be a protectionist. I do not want to build a box. Come on, God, get in the box. Now, last service, you kind of got out of hand. So you get in there, God, and don't do any of those things like that again. No, may God never be in a box. I'd rather have Jack in the box than God in a box. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth. And God, we are at a threshold. It is so cool to realize that we're at a threshold with you. And that threshold is today, this Sunday. And Lord, your church, I myself included, can make a choice to walk in and with you, to let you do your thing, to actually and factually be able to say to somebody who asks us a question or a decision, I don't know. Let's wait and see what the Lord wants to do. Father, for most here, that's how, and that's the way you've drawn them here. For some here today that are visiting, they're saying, no way do I want to have the Holy Spirit, Jesus or God, in that much control of my life, of my church. And maybe there are those here this morning saying, man, this message was for me. If I can't dictate the color and the size of it, I freak. And now here today, I'm hearing that Jesus is the pastor of the church and the Holy Spirit is its power. That's the life I want to live. Dear Father, wherever you see our hearts at right now, I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would change us and that we would experience you in new and wonderful ways. Father, we love you. We give our lives to you and we praise you. For it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Believer's Experience. Thanks for listening. And our hope is that you've experienced God's love and grace in your own life. The Believer's Experience is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Here's something kind of cool goes along with the end of one year into the next. You know, a lot of us here at the church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, love to go through the Bible in one year together. So why don't you join us reading the New King James Version of the one-year Bible all together? This is it's probably the 15th or 20th year that we've done this together. We'd love for you to join us. And so this month's book of the month is the New King James Version of the one-year Bible. You can pick up your copy and join us in this quest at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and read along with us this year in the New King James Version of the Bible. Get yours today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It is the book of the month. We hope you'll join us. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.